What happens when a computer algorithm becomes the primary witness, you know, in a murder investigation?
Right, or when a mathematical formula just completely replaces the trading floor of a major stock exchange.
Exactly. We are standing right at this exact moment where the systems we rely on, like our communication networks and economic models, are basically breaking down and being completely rewritten.
Yeah, they really are fundamentally changing.
So if you are joining us for this deep dive today, you are looking for a shortcut to understanding the absolute bleeding edge of where humanity is heading next.
And we have a really great stack of sources for this, 4 brand new academic reviews, all published in 2026.
Right, across some drastically different fields.
Yeah, we've got anthropology, economics, financial economics, and criminology.
So the mission here is to cover each article clearly and separately, one after the other.
Right.
We are going to unpack the research question, the methodology, the key findings, and the practical implications for you, but without all that dense academic jargon.
Because while these 4 topics seem totally unrelated at first glance, they actually all fundamentally deal with the exact same thing. They show how human systems, you know, communication, labor, finance, and justice are being radically re-engineered.
Let's dive right into the first article. It's called Channels by Elena Wemen from the Annual Review of Anthropology. The research question here is, well, what exactly is a channel of communication? Like, is it really just a neutral, basic condition that lets us talk to one another?
And her methodology for answering that is really interesting. She uses a review of ethnographic anthropological research.
Right, so not just looking at wires and routers.
Exactly. She's studying channels not as tech hardware, but as lived social experiences.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because her findings argue that channels are never neutral.
Never.
They are subjected to intense social, material, and political forces.
Right. She highlights that channels relate specific sentiences, which basically means specific consciousnesses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the channel actively demands specific choices. It connects certain people while, you know, intentionally cutting others out.
So a channel isn't just a literal fiber optic cable. It's more like the bouncer at an exclusive VIP club.
That is a great way to put it.
But wait, if someone is actively blocking or distorting a channel, aren't they just a broken pipe rather than a channel themselves?
Well, what's fascinating here is that blocking a channel is actually an active exertion of power.
Oh, I see.
By ethnographically attending to exactly who makes, distorts, checks, or blocks these channels, we discover who actually has the agency to uphold or change the entire social order.
That is wild. So for you, the listener, the practical implication is that you need to think about your own daily communication channels differently.
Definitely.
You should be checking them not just for audio or visual fidelity, but for how they map shifting social power dynamics.
Yeah, the channel is the power structure.
Which is a perfect transition.
Mm.
Because if human channels dictate social power, what happens when we automate the ultimate channels of production?
Right, taking humans completely out of the equation.
Exactly. That brings us to our second article, Economic Growth Under Transformative AI, by Philip Trammell and Anton Karnick from the Annual Review of Economics.
Yeah, and the research question here is huge. What are the macroeconomic implications if AI advances to the point of automating essentially all human work?
Literally all of it.
Right. The methodology relies on synthesizing multiple strands of existing macroeconomic literature to build a new theoretical framework for a post-human labor world.
And the key findings are staggering. If AI simply automates production, meaning machines can literally self-replicate, it will dramatically raise economic growth rates.
But at the same time, the labor share just plummets.
Right.
This actually breaks what economists call the Kaldor effect.
Remind us what those are again.
They're these long-standing economic rules that have historically characterized frontier growth. Basically, labor and capital usually keep a steady balance.
But AI breaks that.
Completely. And if AI also automates research and development, meaning machines are self-improving, this transformation accelerates wildly.
Here's where it gets really interesting. This sounds like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, with machines endlessly making machines.
Yeah, it really does.
But if the labor share plummets because no humans are working, who exactly is buying all this exploding economic output?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the paper actually addresses this exact paradox.
Okay, honey.
You'd think wages would hit zero, but wages are the product of exploding output versus a plummeting labor share, so they could actually rise, or they could fall.
Wait, they could rise?
Yeah, it all depends on really complex variables. Things like returns to scale, the importance of natural resources, human tastes, and the exact direction of technological change.
So human-made goods might just become massive status symbols.
Exactly, like a Veblen good.
The practical implication here is that this prepares you for a future where traditional models of earning a living might just vanish completely.
Right. It forces us to consider how societies will distribute resources when labor is basically obsolete.
And we don't even have to wait for future AI to see machines replacing humans.
Yeah.
It is already happening right now in the financial sector.
Oh, absolutely.
That brings us to Article 3, Microstructure of Blockchain Cryptocurrency Markets, by Alfred Lahar and Christine A. Parler from the Annual Review of Financial Economics.
The research question here is very practical. How do decentralized exchanges and automated market makers actually function?
And how do they differ from traditional Wall Street financial markets, right?
Exactly. And for their methodology, the paper summarizes key mechanisms of blockchain trading venues. But it also provides a practical guide for reading and using blockchain data for academic research.
Which is super helpful. And the key findings explain that these automated market makers are simply computer programs on the blockchain.
Right. They just administer liquidity and set the terms of trade.
Meaning they entirely replace human brokers and clearinghouses.
Completely. It is all math and code.
So what does this all mean? It sounds like an automated market maker is basically a vending machine for currency.
Yeah, that's a fair way to look at it.
But here's my question. A vending machine can't sense a panic. Doesn't removing human market makers strip away the vital intuition needed during a market crash?
Well, this raises an important question, and the authors are very impartial about this. The paper finds that while you do lose human intuition, you also lose human fragility.
Meaning the machines don't panic.
Right. The authors detail how liquidity providers are compensated in this decentralized ecosystem, and they note that the vending machine operates strictly on math.
Which means total transparency.
Exactly. It offers complete transparency, but it fundamentally alters market microstructure compared to traditional finance.
So the practical implication for you is that this gives you a clear roadmap for understanding the back end of the decentralized finance revolution.
Right. You can move past all the crypto hype.
Yeah. And actually understand the plumbing of how blockchain markets work. Now, bringing us back from the cold, mathematical certainty of blockchain algorithms, we land in the most psychologically fraught human interaction imaginable.
The police interrogation room.
Exactly. Our final article is The Changing Landscape of Police Interviewing and Interrogation by Christopher E. Kelly and Allison D. Redlich from the Annual Review of Criminology.
The research question here asks how the practice of questioning suspects has evolved in response to psychological and legal research.
Right. And the methodology.
The authors trace the historical evolution of both law enforcement practices and academic research. They basically review decades of literature on suspect questioning.
And the key findings reveal a massive paradigm shift. It is the transition from the term interrogation to investigative interviewing.
Right, which is a huge difference.
Because the goal of an interrogation was simply to obtain a confession.
Yeah, whatever takes.
But the goal of an investigative interview is the search for truthful, accurate, and complete information.
Exactly. And research has heavily influenced this shift toward ethical approaches.
But this sounds like a shift from breaking someone down to solving a puzzle together. Is this just PR rebranding?
It is a fair question.
Like, does changing the name on a manual actually stop a detective from trying to force a confession out of a suspect?
Well, the authors impartially address the realities here. They acknowledge there is still a lot to be learned, obviously.
Sure.
But they explain that this isn't just rebranding. It represents tangible reforms happening in the United States and abroad.
Based on actual data.
Right. It is grounded in robust literature showing that ethical approaches yield more reliable information.
And fewer false confessions.
Exactly. Which is huge.
The practical implications here lay out avenues for future research for scholars.
Yeah.
But it also assures you, the listener, that the justice system is actively, scientifically reforming how it seeks the truth.
Yeah, it's a real evolution.
So just to briefly recap our journey today, we saw communication channels as instruments of social power.
Right.
We looked at macroeconomic models of AI replacing human labor. We saw blockchain algorithms stepping in as financial market makers.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the psychological shift in police suspect interviews.
And I think it is so important to tie this back to you, the listener. These aren't just abstract academic concepts.
Definitely not.
These are the literal blueprints for how your future jobs, money, communications, and legal rights are currently being reconstructed.
Which leaves me with a final thought to mull over that bridges all these papers.
Oh, what is it?
Well, if transformative AI eventually automates all human work, like in Article 2,
right,
and blockchain handles all our financial trusts from Article 3,
yeah,
what happens to the human channels of communication from Article 1?
That is a wild thought.
Right. And will future police interviews, like in Article 4, simply consist of one algorithm ethically probing another algorithm to find out the truth?
Wow. Algorithms interrogating algorithms.
It is something to keep digging into on your own. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Catch you next time.